That's a good message. That will take you through. Don't fight the battle. It ain't yours to fight. Say, it's not mine. Say, the battle's been won. In essence, actually it's this. The Bible says, in the Scripture says, acknowledging every good thing that is with you. Let's say this together. Acknowledging every good thing. What happens? The devil comes to you and tries to get you to acknowledge something bad about me. Or acknowledge something bad about somebody else. And when you start acknowledging that, you're already going against the Word and you already allowed that spirit to have... Y'all got it? Say, I'm not going there. It's not my battle. Amen. Somebody this week tried to get pick a verbal fight with me. It wasn't Josh or any of my employees. Tried to pick a verbal fight with me. It wasn't any of my employees, and y'all don't know them. They tried to pick a verbal fight with me. I just smiled and laughed and said, that's a great day. It just made them mad as all get out. Why? Because what they said, I didn't take it. The next day I saw them, hey, how are you doing today? And they looked at me like, well, I'm doing okay. It's kind of like, it was just a spirit. It's all it was. They didn't even know what they did. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Stan. I appreciate his teaching. It's blessed me. And I know it's blessed you. Can you say amen? And amen. Let's show him our appreciation. Amen. Praise God. I know the Lord gets the glory, but He's a blessing to us. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing that Gary taught about Sunday was power connections, right? And I hope you met, when somebody brings you a word, even Wednesday night, Sunday, doesn't make any difference when, you're to meditate on those things. Is that correct? Why? Because it was so valuable. Well, it was, but that's not the only reason you meditate. The reason you meditate is because God can open up more things with the word that He's already planted. He can bring forth a harvest and a harvest and a harvest. Amen? One of the things that I know that God's been dealing with me about that, and I want to share a little bit, hopefully, with that with you tonight, is that what Christians believe is that there's two powers on the face of the earth, God and Satan. That's a lie. You know that? He just mentioned it. That's a lie, and we've been duped into believing a lie. That's why we'll fight a non-existent power. One of the things that that we need to understand, or as we can comprehend what I'm saying tonight, is that we need to understand us in Christ Jesus equals power in us, right? One source of power, one only. If we can get that down, then I can walk this earth knowing that I'm the only power there is right here. And when there's a power that threatens that, because I'm locked into the only power, God's not going to challenge His own power, then all I'm looking at is a threat which has no power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Well, let's pray so our understanding will be better. Father, we give this time to You. We definitely want revelation from You, knowledge from You. I really don't want to hear me. I want to hear what You have to say. I want to hear You tonight. Therefore, I will leave changed. This place will be changed. The people will be changed. Your body will be changed. And then this city can be changed. That is the goal. That is Your will. We accept Your will. And we walk in that blessed will. And we refuse any curse. We refuse any threat. We receive only from You tonight. And we do that in Jesus' name. Therefore, it is successful. And everybody that agrees says amen. I was at a funeral today of a man's wife, one of the wealthiest men in South Texas. His wife died. And at the funeral, and this is after 50 some odd years of marriage, there was some recollections of past memories by friends. One of the ladies was there, and she told a story. In fact, two of them recalled it, but one of them was a lot more vivid. And these two people met each other. They fell in love. He was in the Navy. He was going to get shipped out to San Diego. He said, I don't want to leave you. Marry me. She agreed. They went to San Diego. They lived there for a while. In the military then, you didn't make any money. Zero. And they didn't provide you with much. And so he went out to the city dump and he got some free furniture. Cleaned it up, brought it in and said, it's amazing how much trouble we get into just being innocent once in a while, wanting to do what's best. Well, she didn't think that's what was best. And she threw a hissy. Y'all know what a hissy is, right? I'm not going to define it for you, but it's something you shouldn't do. She didn't accept the gift like it was given. She wanted more, like a lot of us. And she got mad. She said, you're going to begin our marriage by shopping at the garbage dump. I don't accept that. I'm leaving. I'm going back home. He left. And when he came back, he handed her an airline ticket to go home. She said, okay, I will. And so he got her in the car and he took her to the airport. And when she got to the airport, she looked at the ticket. It was a one-way ticket. He said, I mean business, do you? She said, probably not as much as I thought. Got over the mad, went back, and they were married forever. What's the point? You tell me what's the point. See, if you know your word, you know who walks in authority in your household. It is the husband. And he makes decisions about what, how the marriage is going to be operated. The reason he's one of the wealthiest men in this area is because he continued in that with all of his businesses. What's the point, Stan? Well, listen and you'll get it. There can only be one authority in your arena. And if you accept a false authority, you're going to lose everything. It starts spiritually. It carries out physically. The enemy is a defeated foe, but he doesn't tell you that. He tells you the opposite. Recently, I was in somebody's house. They had one of those laser dot pointers. And there was a cat in the room. And they took that laser pointer and ran that cat ragged. That cat was chasing something, running after something that didn't exist. Now, it existed in that cat's mind. Everybody else knew the cat was just crazy, just a fool. Cat never figured it out. So the cat wasted all of that time and all of that energy because there's a little light running around. The devil comes in and says, I'm going to run your life ragged. I'm going to steal every ounce of your energy. And I'm going to cause you to give everything you own to me, thinking that I'm taking it. And if you don't, I'll kill you. And that's the only threat he's got. If you don't do this, I'll kill you. I'll steal from you. I'll destroy you. And we're goofy enough that we listen. We're sitting there in a possible connection, referring back to the message Sunday. And there's only one side that has power, and the other side has a threat, and we melt. Why do we do that? Now, come on, don't tell me you don't do that. I can look back in my life, and I can tell you about, I ran after all kinds of red dots. I was thinking about, as I was praying about this evening service, I was thinking about Celia. Because it was brought up in the funeral today. It was on my mind. Celia. That was a vicious storm. I sat through it. I know. I remember. Made up my mind I'd never do that again. Did you hear me? I said I made up my mind I'd never do that again. Well, logic tells you then you just get out of the way. And I'm learning spiritual things. I'm biting on things. I'm chewing on them. I'm fighting and I'm learning. The next one came along. Well, this time I had a house with a concrete bunker underneath it. So I just boarded up everything, tied the generator to the power system, and I've got it made. The storm was nothing. We had all that prep for nothing. Okay, well, I won anyway. But a few years, another storm threatened. I remember that. It just threatened. By this time, I had read some word, and I'd figured out that the enemy's defeated. Oh, Stan, you can't call a storm an enemy. You don't know what you're talking about. If it can kill you, it's your enemy. If it can knock your house down, it's your enemy. If it can ruin your crops, it's your enemy. And I was ministering at a church then, down in Corpus. And somebody said, let's pray about that storm. And I said, no, let's don't. Well, what do you mean, let's don't? I said, let's just tell it to get. Jesus set an example in the Word. Did he have dominion over the wind and the water? Then he said, what I tell you to do is you do what I did even more. They said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to stand out there and I'm going to band that storm. Die. They laughed at me. Hey, I was farming. This was life and death to me. This wasn't a game. I wasn't out here. You know? And I commanded that storm to get, and it got. It died. I stood up in the second floor of my house one time, and I, in the middle of the night, and a thunderstorm came, and I heard hail coming. And I said, you won't touch me. And I said that a few times, and I heard that thing turn. I heard it come this right out of the north and then turn, go east. I lost it. I thought, well, that took care of that. I went to bed. Got up the next morning and found out it came to my turning road. Came to my fence line and turned and went on somebody else. And I said, that was not right. What do I want? Do I want destruction to go on somebody else? I want the destroyer to be destroyed. So these experiences, listen, let God speak to us. We'll learn how to win, not how to fight. The fight has been completed. When Jesus was on that cross and he said with a loud voice, it is finished. It was to let you know that you don't have to do anymore except believe in what I've already done. There's one other thing we might have to do. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, not our pleadings. Our testimony is something that I can tell you that I know about. And if I really know in here that the battle's done, the enemy's he's toothless, then what I do is I testify to that fact, to any enemy, any storm, any weapon that's formed. Why? Because I have to. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. It doesn't say choose once in your life. It says choose you this day. You know, you need to get excited about this because what God has given you is more powerful than anything that's on the face of the earth. The power connection, and I'll just start with this, the power connection that we're talking about does not begin with a handshake from another person. It begins with when the Holy Spirit visits you and says, I've chosen you. That's the first power connection we talked about. What have you chosen me for? Well, I've chosen to be forgiven from the sins. Eradicated the sins. Eradicated. Eliminated. They don't exist anymore. And that's the first thing we fall over. We don't believe that. And we can't figure out how we can't walk in that power connection because we don't believe God. How come that you don't trust me to tell you the truth, the absolute truth? Because you've never trusted God to tell you the absolute truth. You don't believe him when he says things. Well, I'd like to have a boat, but you know how that sea gets, man. And I'd like to have a plane. You know how those storms get. Yeah, I'd like to do. You're talking fear. You're talking about something that cannot touch you. Why are you believing it can? Because you don't believe God. Now that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." That means you don't believe me. The first power connection we have is with God. And every relationship, every success or failure is based on how we accept that first relationship. Most people spend the rest of their life struggling to believe their sins are forgiven. And Jesus died to prove it. We don't walk in power, we don't walk in authority because we don't walk in power and we don't walk in authority. If I receive the honest to God truth, and I use that literally, the honest to God truth, then when I was born again, I was set free. It took me a lot of years to believe that, and I'm still working at it. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Where if a bus runs at me, you're not going to scare me. It's going to take more than a greyhound. If I'm in a plane and it starts going down, I'm going to tell that plane, "You can't crash. I will not let you." Well, but what if it crashes? What if you're afraid it crashes? What did you accomplish by being afraid, screaming bloody murder and puking your guts out, showing everybody that you're afraid? What did you accomplish? What I accomplished in faith was to be absent from here, to be present with the Father. I pleased God in faith. I'm going to be there. I don't want anybody crashing the plane to accomplish that. Because if it's my time, it's my time according to God, not according to I accept the circumstances. Did you hear me? The will of God in my life is according to God, not according to circumstances. And after I get all beat up and half destroyed, I don't say it must have been the will of God. That's an excuse for God and He doesn't need one. To give Him praise in those things is to believe Him even straight through them. It's all right if I step on my toes and hurt yours a little bit too, right? We want the truth. Once we get this power connection accepted in our lives, and this is the one thing I want to establish from the message Sunday. If I can get this power connection from the only power source there is, and I can eliminate any other shadow of doubt and other power sources, then God will start to use people in my life. But not until. If you won't trust God, God's not going to trust you with His people. That makes sense? There's something nasty about the enemy. He gets stuff on you that Babo won't wash off. And you will give it to other people. And there's something good about good. You get that from God and you give it to other people. And that won't wash off. What do you got? What do you have? When people leave you, has your faith increased? Did you just tell them about your last operation for 45 minutes? I sat with a couple last night, and the woman started telling me about, out of the blue, started telling me about kidney operations and bypasses and I thought, oh Lord, I guess what I should have said is, I don't want to hear that. Then they wouldn't have liked me ever, right? Maybe I wouldn't have had to take a bath. I shut my mouth and we had no more to talk about. Because I'm afraid if I make a connection, some of that's going to get on me. I don't want the connection. Are you the power source? Are they the power source? Choose you this day, life or death. God wants every one of His children to know Him, that have touched Him and received power, become part of the power. He wants them to acknowledge that and begin to walk in it. How do you do that? Well, the world can call it ego. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. Know who you are. know whose you are. You hear me? Know who you are and whose you are. Know who they are not. It's just as important to know. First, it starts with the enemy. You are not power. Then everybody and everything that he sends your way, you are not power. And it becomes childlike and easy. I agree with him. This is what he taught. We need power connections. You know, how many of you had a power connection today? How many of you are looking for one? How many of you expected one? How many of you expected to be one? How many of you are a power connection to somebody? We all need it. We need to be cautious about our relationships. By the way, the title of this tonight is God's Presence is the Only Power. Let me say it another way. Satanic presence is no power. It's the lack of power. Light is light. Darkness is the absence of light. God is faith. The enemy is the absence of faith. God is truth. The enemy is the totally opposite absence of truth. God is power. The enemy is just a shadow of power. There's none there. If we can live with that truth in our lives, we won't have battles once we arrive in the practice. We can grin. He said it. Somebody, just grin. Why? You tell me why. Do you understand that it's fun to laugh at an enemy? It's more fun to laugh at an enemy than shoot one. I said, the number one thing the church is missing is that they don't believe God. 100%. You understand, God doesn't want you to believe parts of His Word, but all of it. Now, how many of you have established in your life there are prophets still on the face of the earth? Or some of you believe they died with those that saw Jesus? Well, they're real. And it's all right if you want to test that spirit, that's fine. It's not all right for you to say, he's not one. Because you're not the judge. God's the judge. If he wants that man shut down as a false prophet, what did the man say? God's will, God's bill. That means if he wants him dead, he can kill him. Don't you get involved. You stay out of the way. How many of you believe there's still apostles on the face of the earth? Let me read you a little scripture. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. One of the things I want to help, and I'm nobody except a willing vessel, I want to foundationalize things. See, prophets can't foundationalize. Did you know that? Let me tell you what a prophet can't do. He cannot come in here and make you steady. He can come in here and stir up a nest. He'll drop truth on you that'll flatten you on the ground. That's what he can do. You can read your mail. Well, that's fine and good, unless it helps. I mean, it's great if it helps. The only way it can help is if you already have a power connection with God, another power connection comes around and assists in God helping or God growing you. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Now, these are people that know God. With the saints and members of the household of God. It already tells us we're not stand alone, right? Did you hear that? You are not stand alone. You're members of the household of God. Well, who are we talking about? Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Why are you reading me this? Because I want you to understand. Power connection, Jesus, begins to filter down through prophets and apostles. Why don't we have a lot of powerful things going on? Because we really don't believe in prophets and apostles. So nothing can be foundationalized. What does a prophet look like? Well, generally obnoxious and ugly and hard to get along with, and you don't want to be with him too long. What's an apostle look like? Anybody God says. He's nothing special. He probably has a lot of mileage on him, a lot of aches and pains, stone bruises. He's got a lot of things that he really don't want to talk to you about. He wants to tell you what he's learned from them. Because he wants to settle you down foundationally. What can happen? Here's what will happen. Let me tell you what will happen. And I'll be 100% right. Isn't that what he said? 100% right. I'll be 100% right. How can I say that? Because I used to operate in the office of a prophet. I know why. I know it's real. And I know it can be 100% right. The prophet comes in and gives you a word. A new word. A fresh word. An old word. I don't care. It's a word. Because the true definition is a seer and a foreteller. He can just see or he can foretell. Or maybe all. Now what's it worth? Nothing. Unless foundation comes behind it. So anytime you get a prophetic word, let me tell you what you do with a prophetic word. Can I give you a command that'll profit you beyond measure? Here comes the prophetic word. He gives it to you. You take that thing and you set it up on a faith shelf and you don't look back. You don't try to make it happen. You don't worry about it. You don't fret and you don't even pray about it. God's will, God's bill. You wait till it's confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, one of them being God Himself. Don't worry that God's going to get angry that you didn't move on it. He commanded one of His servants in the Bible, saying, I want you to do something. He said, well, if that's what you want me to do, put dew on that fleece right there and don't on the grass. God says, okay, boom. Next day, He said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, God. I don't know if I believe yet. So this time I want you to do the grass and not the fleece. So he did it. Now you and I would have killed him. That's how impatient we'd have been. I've done this for you. This is enough. Just give me somebody to believe me the first time. I said that to you to understand you can't test God. We don't even know how, so we can't even make him impatient. If I don't know how to test him, I don't know how to make him impatient. He just sees us as little kids trying our way to get to where he wants us to get. And that impresses him, by the way. He doesn't get mad. He just says, good boy, stick with it. Test the spirits. Don't worry about it. The other thing you're not supposed to do to a prophet is ever judge him. I know. They say do that. Oh, he's got to be 100% right. If you're going to live in the Old Testament, you live there. If you're moving to the New Testament, then you have grace and mercy. Or you better be 100% right all of your time, or you'll be judged by that same measure. Chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. What is the goal of the power connection? What is the goal of a prophet? What is the goal of an apostle? Holy temple in the Lord. It's not about a circuit that a man travels. It's about something that a gift from God comes to give to the gift of God to create the holy temple. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What's this whole thing about preaching and teaching and listening and praying and fasting and apostles and prophets? What's it about, God? Because you're being built. That's what it says, isn't it? Does it or doesn't it? You're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Why are you telling me this, Stan? I've told you part of it. I want to foundationalize some of the word that came to you Sunday. That's what I feel like God told me to do, so I'm going to do that. I want you to understand that we've got to have different forms of ministry to accomplish what God wants. We've got to have it. We yearn, long for it, hunger and thirst. Why? Because we're being built. I've never seen anything being built that didn't go through a lot of scraping and banging and, ooh, it's bad. But we're being built. It'll turn out into that beautiful dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. This is not about making us pretty, rich, fat or skinny. It's about a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. In your spirit is what God is looking for. Can I give you, I might never get through with this, but can I give you a testimony that happened to me this Saturday morning that it took me several hours to understand what had just happened. But Saturday morning, I was up early praying. And I heard the voice of God. At my house, it's quiet. There's nothing around. So if I hear something, it's going to be God. That's my desire. And I heard God say, Stan, what is it that you want? Now, I've not been asked that many times. I do a lot of asking of my wife and other people, what do you want? Well, I don't get asked. Okay, we'll get along. God says, what do you want from me? I gave my heart's desire, but I also gave the pat answer. Gave the pat answer. The answer that we're told to give, that is, whatever you want, God. You see, I learned that answer. But if we answer correctly enough, it becomes the right answer. It becomes the true answer. How do you know that? I'm going to tell you what he said to me. That's how I know that. His answer back to me was so fast that I didn't even catch it. He said, I know, that's why I ask you. That's strange. Okay, here's my list. I don't present lists to God. I'm not here to ask God what I want, except Nehemiah's way. I gave him a long list. And I swear to you, half to two-thirds of that list that I gave him was spoken to me Sunday morning. This is what's going to happen. I didn't tell him. I didn't even want to tell him my name. If you're a prophet, you tell me my name. I'm not that smart, Alec. You know, I'm just saying that's kind of the feeling I have. The more I tell you, hey, listen, if I've operated in the prophetic before. You don't have to say much to me before I read your mail fast. It's just the way God operates. So the best thing, if you want to test God, don't say anything. And his power connection was the way I answered him. It really fouled him up. But that's okay. I wasn't playing. Do you know what God said to me? Did you hear what he said to me? What did he say to me? What did he say to me? Huh? What did that mean? See, all of these are good answers. They're right answers, but that's not what it meant to me. 2 hours later, I'm going along and I about take off. What he said was, I trust you. I trust you because I know that you're going to ask what I want. Listen carefully. I'm going to ask what God wants for me. Y'all ain't got that yet. He trusted me not to go off on a tangent selfishly. And what I asked for was a lot bigger than anything I've ever asked for before. It's like Nehemiah, when I talked about Nehemiah, the things he asked. Now I've got in my heart, I'm going to begin to expect. And I'm not even going to share with you because I don't want you looking down on what I said. But I can tell you that man responded to what I had prayed. I didn't tell him that. I'm not here to build his ego. He's here to build mine. Wasn't that the case? My faith? Let your faith and your ego be the same thing. Don't have an ego separate from your faith. Let your ego be as big as your faith. I was thrilled. That may not have thrilled you guys, but I'm telling you, when God does that to you, you'll understand. Some of your work has paid off in God's sight. You quit being a stinker and you became a sweet smell in his nostrils. That's what he told me. You're finally to the point I can trust you. All these other years, you know, I know you knew about the name and claim it stuff. Now you're not even going to do that. So I'm going to let you. I'm not against name and claim it. It's as real as it gets. I have no idea what time it is. I should keep me on. Connie's usually here to do that. You need to keep me on track. Okay, a few more minutes. I'll not finish this. There's one source of power. That'd be God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When we're in sin, we're powerless. When we're in unbelief, we're powerless. If you ever felt powerless, you are in unbelief. Please listen to me again. If you've ever felt powerless in your life, you are operating in unbelief. Because I promise you the Holy Spirit has been sent to you to remind you of these things, these promises, these commands of God, your connection the first time you ever met God and how you were freed. You know what I always, here's the way I like to describe salvation. I'm an old farmer that's done a lot of gas tank cleaning. But being saved is like having a dirty gas tank. You got the fuel, but it's full of dirt. I mean, being in sin. Being saved is having your gas tank taken off, totally cleaned out. All the trash is gone. All the old dirty fuel is gone. Now you ain't got nothing. You're just as powerless as you can be. You're like a little babe. You're clean. You're pure. But you're just about worthless. You're free. Free to what? Screw up. Mess up. Say the wrong things. Do the wrong things. So what are you saying? Well, you need to be filled with something. Or you're not going anywhere. So you need a second power connection right then. You need to reach up there and grab the rest of the story. Get yourself filled with something. Empowered. And once you get empowered, you're not going to run from every little lightning bug on the end of a stick. You're not going to go out and see a shadow of trillium and get afraid. When's the last time a trillium ever attacked you? Another place we miss terribly. We usually we're the cat chasing the light. We're after something that can't. We're the accused. And the accuser's on us constantly. And the reason we can't empower other people is we're too busy trying to empower ourselves instead of just receiving the power. Walking in the belief that you are now empowered. Why? Because you've been filled with something other than empty. You've been filled with something called life, and death has been removed. Man, if we could get this, you could just walk the streets. You could just walk around and saying, wonder who I empower today. What, God, what you got planned? I'll keep my eyes and ears open. I'm going to get somebody today. And you could be the aggressor instead of the one that's being chased. That would please God. All right, let me say it another way. God doesn't make children that are wimps. I should have looked up the scripture. But did you know the Bible says that God hates the effeminate? He hates it. Well, does that mean he hates women? No. Look at the definition. It means soft. God hates the soft. The church is trying to teach us to be soft. Soft on sin. Speak softly. Speak nice. Send them to hell. And the Bible, your word, your manual says God hates soft. He doesn't hate the person that's nice. He hates the fact that you can't step up to the plate. Do you know there are decisive moments in your life, and there will be more, but there are decisive means there are directive moments in your life. I described to you about where that newly married man set his newly married wife straight. And it decided the whole 50-something years. Did you hear me? One decision, one decisive moment set the direction, the pace, the love for 50-some-odd years because he was tough. If he'd have been soft, she'd have been telling him what to do for 50-something years and he wouldn't have made a red cent because God's going to honor his word. God, there wasn't even a laugh then. Wasn't an amen. Y'all must not like that. Well, I don't care. It's the word. I don't answer to you. I answer to God in his word. I do care, but I don't. No, I don't care. Did you know God commands you to be careless? How can I care if he says cast all your cares on him and he'll do the caring? So I got a bad case of the don't cares. I'm careless. amen. Some of y'all need to say amen about that badly. Some of you just care way too much. God spoke to some people in this church about reuniting relationships. You know why? What can block that? You care for yourself. Well, I might get hurt again. Well, I might get cussed again. Well, I might this, I might that. You are caring about yourself. The first thing you must not care about is you. If Jesus would have cared about himself, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. And you're to take up your cross and follow him. That means don't care about you. You need to learn to honestly tell God, I'll walk into a buzzsaw for you. You'll have to put it to be back together, or you'll have to stop the saw. It's your will, it's your bill. I'm going to keep using it. I like that. Your will, it's your bill. You've got to take care of me. The whole salvation beginning is to provide you life so that you can provide life to others. Provide you power so that you can provide powers to others. Let's Ephesians 1, I think. Yeah, he's already got up there. He's trying to prod me on too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, now this is what I pray, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What did he just say? If you got ears, what did he just say? You guys are dumber than stumps. You can't see, you can't understand, you can't hear, and I'm praying for you every day that you'll receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But that sounds a lot better. And it is better. It is better. There's no reason to confess all truths. Here's another thing. Since you're blind and bats, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, if you don't have this, you can't get a hope about his calling in you. You'll never have a hope in your life that you can be a power source to somebody else unless you receive this wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and hope. And I pray you get that. I pray there's a fire lit in you. You'll finally understand what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Whoa! We're still trying to get any power because we can't understand that all we got to do is reach up and we're going to be zapped like you won't believe. Exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. That's, by the way, you need to understand, it's not your power, it's his working through us. So if I have a power connection for anybody or they have for me, I must understand it's God working through that person. Why? So that I give praise and glory to the right person. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Whoa, what raised Jesus from the dead? Couldn't have been Jesus, he was dead. It was God's exceeding great power. Later it says that if that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it gives life to your mortal body. That thing that's trying to kill you is getting life where it wants it or not. Words come along, people come along, handshakes come along, pats, whatever it takes to keep you power, 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 until you're the power source. Which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. If that same spirit works in you, you're going to be seated in heavenly places, far above. Anybody in here feel far above? Well, work in them, God. Paul's praying, give them some sight and understanding and revelation. Let them understand this thing we're trying to say. Far above principality, far above all power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Oh, every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You've got to have enough faith that God has dominion and you have dominion over every name now and forever. Otherwise, the enemy will come and convince you that you might make it to heaven, but then you'll fall out. That was funny. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So I want you to understand that, which is his body, the fullness of him which fills all in all. Why is this all going on? Because it's his body. Why do you take vitamins? Why do you eat? Taking care of your body? Jesus got a better way. Reach up, touch me, believe, and I'll show you what life is. The Bible promises this, that I don't care how old you get, there's most, not most, it says that none of your faculties will go away. But we've been taught, and we believe, more so than the Bible, that women have to go through the change of life. Never says that in the Bible. It shows you that a 100-year-old woman had a baby one time. But, you know, the doctors say, so we got to believe that. No, I can't tell that joke. Nothing is supposed to give up on you. Pastor taught about Elijah and Elisha, remember? He didn't say that that guy was getting sick. The other guy could see him getting sick. So he said, hey, God, I know he's going to die. I can see it coming on him. I want what he's got. Wasn't that way? They were empowered. They had revelation knowledge. What revelation knowledge? That this man had completed his work and he was fixing to get a promotion. Not because his eyes didn't work anymore, his ears didn't work anymore, his feet didn't work anymore. It doesn't say that. And the reward was what? He didn't see death. Did you know that's the promise to all those that believe? You don't see death? We are so busy preparing for our family to see death that we pay for it in advance. I always told my people that wanted to listen, throw me out back. Somebody will do something. The buzzards, if nothing else. If there's anything left. So you don't think I mean that? I think they do. I think they're afraid I mean it and I might do it to them if they go first. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can I tell you the danger that I walk in? I'll make it personally. I don't need you. I don't need you. How do I know that? Because I don't. I can't tell you how many battles I've won without you, how many things I've learned without you, how many miles I've gone without you, how many blessings, how many healings without you. So I don't need you. Is that what that says? I said feeling. I didn't say truth. You know what the safest feeling in the world is? No, I don't need you. Ooh. I just put on a depends. Therefore, I don't have to depend on you. I don't need you. Y'all have to think about that a little bit. I am being honest with you. It's the most serious thing that I battle with. God tells me every day about who I need, and I say, no, I don't. But he knows he's going to win. I've already told him. I made a deal with him many years ago. No matter what I say, you win. And he has taken me up on that deal, I promise you. I am part of a body. You know what the head thinks? I don't need you. You know what the foot thinks? I don't need you. You never had your foot try to go off in a different direction? Well, you've never fallen real good then. You never had a twitch once, you know, that happened once. What was that? Well, it decided to do its own thing. Maybe I can get by with hitting somebody and blame it that time. That way, I don't know, but you know good and well that your body wants to go against your mind very often. that mind of Christ. It wants to do its own thing. My dad used to, jokingly, he used to get mad at somebody and he said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to tell God you died natural. He never did. But it was a confession of what was going on inside. I am a part of a body. And we're not going to get past this point tonight. I am a part of a body. You are a part of the body. You know good and well there's not one part of your body that can't make it without the other. Hardest thing in the world to swallow about this relationship with God. Let me give you an example. I'll pick the roughest one I can. Everybody will agree that pastors are called to churches, right? Not really. They form a board and hire somebody. But I'm telling you that God calls people to church. But the people never want to agree that they were called. See, I can get mad and I can stomp and I can leave, but that preacher can't. Well, you're double-minded. You're going to be unstable in all your ways. You think God has a plan to build a church and we'll just call one man? That's a fool's statement. That's a deceived person's statement. So everybody in here, you must decide where God has placed you. Let me give you a little apostolic statement to you. You better not try looking for a second word until you have fulfilled the first one. Don't ask God to speak a second thing to you. If He's told you to be here, you don't be looking around anywhere else. That's like I saying, I'm married and I'm still shopping. This is not a political statement. This is a life and death truth statement. It's why most people are not power connected, because they think they're disconnected after they got the charge. Oh, now I'm free. You're free, all right, to blow it if you want to. Or you're free to get revelation, wisdom, and understanding that tells you that you're not, listen, this finger can't decide to go on your hand. It's connected. See, there's something up here that has been called to direct the rest of this. And the rest of this doesn't like it, but they have to admit it. There's the fight. There's the fight. See, I'm serious. I had all kinds of kinfolks that were preachers, district superintendents, all kinds of stuff. They were always in some kind of running battle, and I never could understand as a kid. So I made up my mind that to be called to preach, you had to have your brain sucked out first. So that was the first calling that happened. When God reached down and called somebody to preach, He just took their brains with Him. Because I never could see one that could think or act or talk correctly. Then He made me one. So be careful what you think. Be careful what you allow your old crazy head to think. Because you are part of that thing that's called. Because you are called to that thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? My foot is called to this body. It's not called to be a foot. It's called to be a foot of this body. If you're a part of this body, you're called to be a part of this body. And you, this is a theocracy, not a democracy. You don't have a vote. Except for one. Choose you this day, life or death, blessed or curses. That's the vote. And to anybody with an ounce of sense, it's not a vote. You grin. Do you agree with that? I mean, life or death is not a vote. Y'all can say amen there. All right, let's stop there. Because I saw him yawn. See, I can blame it on you. Big shoulders. Well, I really didn't see you yawn. You did a good job of hiding it. God is good. And I am a friend of God. He confirmed that to me twice in 2 days. I am privileged. I am honored. And let me tell you something else. If you can serve God and obey His word, He's going to honor you. He will. He already has. He visited you, took away your sins. If you were wise, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you're seeking wisdom and revelation. Let me make it simple. Don't use those big terms. You pray every day, God, I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear. I want to feel what you feel. Make that your prayer every day. I started that a long time ago, and it works. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear, and I want to feel what you feel. I've been praying that for a while. I was in a church that I visited with the pastor. He told me his plan about how he's going to resolve this serious situation. He didn't have to. He just did. He said, what do you think? I said, I think that's God. I feel it here. That's God. I went to bed that night. Great. This was, if it's God's plan, it's resolved. It's fixed. And so I'm peaceful. I knew the church wasn't fixed to be split. I don't know, 2 a.m, my eyes flew open, and I promise you, I'm going to talk about God, so I got to tell you the truth. I saw this big old, you think I got a decent arm here, you ought to see God's. And the fist he's got. And there was a desk there, and I saw that fist come down, and it hit that desk, and the whole room shook where I was. And I heard him say, they're not going to do what I told them to do. And it was just that kind of attitude. I went, oh my God. And I think I laid awake the rest of the night worrying about what I knew was going to happen Sunday morning. And I got up and I went Sunday morning, and sure as all get out, they turned 180 degrees. And the next few days, that place was split. Why? Because it wasn't my, oh no, no, God said, they're not going to do what I told them to do. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't always trust that God is going to smile. I got taught that lesson. I'm glad I wasn't where the fist hit. He's a good aim. Why did he tell you that? Because I'm his friend. Well, did he have to? No. Why did God create man? Relationship, right? True relationship shares. Don't understand why. You've had people tell you things. You don't have any idea why they told you that. Sometimes it helps them. You listen to help them sometimes. You give them sound advice, a good word, and you go home and say, God, what was that about? Are you a friend of God? Are you part of the body of Christ? Are you willing to do anything he asks you to do? Then I promise you, if you're willing and you allow him to ask you to do some crazy things, you do it anyway, then he's going to give you some of the desires of your heart. I don't mean just put them in, but you're going to speak them out and get excited about it. And when they come about, you better be willing. Let me tell you something. God is moving in a direction now to where he's tired of the enemy owning, or not owning, but having influence in finances, in properties, in authority, in power. And he's looking for those he can trust to do what he asked them to do, even if it warps things. So look for some tests. Ask him. Test me, God. That's what some of the men in the Bible did. Test me, God. Why? Because I want this crud out of here. If it's there, I want you to test it out. Show me that I have faith. What do you think tests are for? To please God? He's not a toy. He's not a cat and mouse. If there's a test in your life, it's to show you what needs to be corrected. It's also to encourage you when your faith shines. Hey, I did that. I know you could. I know you could. God never places you in a battle. Listen, I need to preach that message sometime. God never puts you in a battle that He knows that you can win. He's planned the victory, and He just wants you to walk into it. But you've got to walk through the battle. Why? Well, if He already knows it, then who doesn't know? It's you. The battle is to show you you're a winner. When you become a winner, you become an active, valuable member in the body of Christ. You stop worrying about your problems and your things, and now you can be able to minister. Sonia, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And that person will respond back correctly instead of saying, oh, I'm just a crybaby. You remember that conversation? God is so good that sometimes He sends help your way. All you got to do is respond honestly. Listen for true hearts. The enemy can come up and ask you to spill your guts too. We'll get into that the next part of this. You don't want to spill your guts unless you know that this person you're talking to is connected to the power. Because you need the agreement. You need help out of this thing. That's what the body's about. Infection comes, white blood cells are created, they rush to the point of infection, and God has automatic healing in that. Amen? Let's be a part of that body, not the one we've been a part of before. It starts with you. Amen? All right, if you all stand with me. He preaches himself happy and tired, and I just lose my voice. And some of you said amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the pressure they're putting on me and the things they're drawing out. I praise you, Lord, that I'm learning. I praise you that you're teaching. I praise you that power is being dumped on us in the form of revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and strength and faith. This city needs help. Texas needs help. The United States needs help. That body of Christ needs to grow internally. Quickly, Lord. Come quickly. That doesn't mean take us out of this. That means come and empower us and use us in this earth to do your will. We trust you to do that. We trust you to continue this word as you see fit. We give you praise that the work is done for this evening and it's still continued. Thank you that we're changed. And everybody that agrees in Jesus' name says amen. Amen. Thank you.